This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
And a very good afternoon to you. I'm Larry Perel in for Rob Archer, Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz in Southern California. We will go in depth on how the Harris-Walz campaign is doing. But first, a judge has approved a nearly $7 million settlement of a lawsuit filed against the Walnut Valley Unified School District. This is on behalf of a now 16-year-old girl who alleged she was sexually abused more than 50 times by fellow students at Morris Elementary School in Walnut between 2016 and 2018. She also claims the district subjected her to inadequate treatment because she's black. Lawsuit alleged negligent supervision of minors, racial discrimination, and failure to report suspected child abuse, among other charges. A Pomona Superior Court judge signed off on the settlement last week and yesterday directed those funds to be placed into a blocked account. Girl said she was touched inappropriately by a boy when she was on a field trip in the second grade. Also claims that same boy induced her to commit more serious sexual acts than told his friends. Lawsuit alleges that at least five other boys had sexually abused her multiple times in several locations on campus.
When unions are strong, America's strong.
That is Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz speaking to thousands of union members in downtown L.A. this afternoon. Our Emily Valdez from the Convention Center.
And make some noise for the governor of Minnesota and the next vice president of the United States, Tim Walz.
Governor Tim Walz spoke here at the convention of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. There was people here from all 50 states. He said for much of his life, he's been an everyday working American and understands the struggle.
I know I'm preaching to the choir a little bit today, but the choir needs to sing. The choir needs to sing. And just so you know who's not in the choir, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, they see the world very differently than we do. The only thing those two guys knows about working people is how to work to take advantage of them.
Richard is a sanitation worker from Ontario. He was in the crowd.
Walt's speech was just amazing, right down to the beginning of it, right, being a union member herself, and it just shows us the dedication and stuff that this country needs in the city.
After his speech, Walz left for a fundraiser in Newport Beach. In downtown L.A., I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Some tough times ahead over at Paramount. Huge layoffs starting today for the large entertainment company. In total, 21,000 jobs will be eliminated in the U.S. Most of those firings will come before the end of next month. Jonathan Handel is an entertainment attorney.
When the CEO and top management miscalculate, the ones who really pay the price are the people at the lower ranks. It's the actors who don't get jobs, the writers and crew members and directors, and it's the 15% of staff people who are getting laid off. And that's because Paramount made a miscalculation. They've been pouring money into Paramount Plus, and the game was over before that happened.
Yeah, Paramount says its TV studios are also on the chopping block as the company plans to cut $500 million from its budget. Jewish activists opposed to Israel's war in Gaza staged a sit-in on the 405 freeway in West L.A. during the morning rush hour. They were calling for an end to America's support for Israel. Nine people arrested. Our Pete Demetrio spoke to CHP officer Steve Salas.
What are they actually being charged with, and are they going to be cited and released, or are they going to have to post bail? What's the protocol on that?
Basically, they were going to be booked at LAPD Pacific Division here locally. And then the charges are going to be misdemeanor charges, and we have 407 and 409 of the penal code. Unlawful assembly.
No one was injured during the arrest. No cars impounded. This all took about an hour for traffic to get back to normal. A former manager for General Motors in Irvine has been sentenced to 2 years in prison for taking more than $3 million in bribes from a South Korean parts supplier. The 48-year-old, known as Brian So, got the money in return for a major contract with the automaker. He was found guilty last year of bribery and conspiracy during a trial here in L.A. Homeland Security investigators seized nearly $3.2 million believed to be bribery proceeds from a private vault in Los Altos in Santa Clara County. Federal officials later returned that money to South Korean authorities. Two Mexican men have each been sentenced to 10 years in federal prison. They were caught last year in El Monte with more than 1 million fentanyl pills. Both pleaded guilty in April to one count of conspiracy to distribute and possess with intent to distribute fentanyl. Another co-defendant also pleaded guilty to the charge. He's scheduled for sentencing September 10th. Federal officials say the men worked together to distribute fentanyl. The two men were busted by the feds in 2023 at a Holiday Inn after agreeing to do a deal in the parking lot. A convicted serial killer has been linked to a cold case murder in South Pasadena. Here's Karen Adams.
Nearly 40 years after Kathy Small's body was found stabbed in the middle of Bank Street in South Pasadena, L.A. County Sheriff's homicide detectives say DNA evidence has found her killer.
On August 19, 2020, the test conducted on a sexual assault kit and DNA taken from the victim's clothing revealed the presence of two male donors. One of the donors was identified as William Lester Suff. Bill Suff was a convicted serial killer, also known as the Riverside Prostitute Killer or the Lake Elsinore Killer.
Lieutenant Patty Thomas says during an interview with detectives, he confessed to killing Small.
Summary, he stated, in 1986, he was living in the Riverside County and working in Lake Elsinore at a computer repair shop. On the day of the murder, Kathy Small went into the repair shop. She gave him her phone number and he called her later that day, asked her to go with him to go pick his boss up in Pasadena. He picked her up approximately 10 p.m. and they drove to Pasadena. When they arrived at the end of the cul-de-sac on Bank Street, they got into an argument. He became enraged because she knocked his glasses off his face. He retrieved a knife he kept in the vehicle and stabbed her multiple times. He pushed her out of the car and onto the street and drove away.
Yeah, Suff is serving a death sentence for murdering 12 women between 1989 and 1991. Well, California lawmakers have sent 10 bills to Governor Newsom to deal with the retail theft problem. That is coming up as the nonstop news at 5 o'clock continues right here on KNX.
Campaign 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Well, back now to Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz campaigning today in Southern California. He has been at a fundraiser in Newport Beach this afternoon where tickets range from $1 to $100,000. And earlier he made a strongly pro-union speech to the convention of public worker union Ask Me in downtown L.A.
It's not just a saying, it's a fact. When unions are strong, America's strong.
For more on the SoCal visit by the Minnesota governor, we're joined live now by political analyst Dan Schnurr, who teaches at both USC and UC Berkeley. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Walz really leaning into his pro-union credentials here. Is that a vote winner or a vote loser, do you think?
That is a vote winner for the Harris-Walz ticket. It appears that while union leadership is just as strong in support of the Democrats in the elections they have in the past, over the last couple of election cycles, Donald Trump has been fairly successful at getting a good number of rank and file union members from around the country to switch over and vote Republican. And in fact, you may remember the head of the Teamsters spoke to the Republican National Convention last month. So sending the vice presidential nominee to this speech is a very smart way of securing that base for the Harris campaign.
All right. So how about Republican claims that Walz has lied about parts of his military service? Are those attacks working?
At least at this point, it doesn't appear that the attacks are working. It's not yet clear how much Walz is going to help the Harris ticket, the Harris campaign. But at this point, those particular attacks don't seem to have a great deal of staying power. What I will say is what's interesting about today's visit is Walz was named to the ticket for many reasons. Most notably, though, his ability to reach out to rural America. The urban-rural divide in American politics is the largest partisan division we see in the 21st century. And the Harris campaign believes that Walz, coming from a small town himself, is positioned to reach out to those voters who've become very strong Republican supporters in recent years. Bringing him to Southern California to talk to a union audience does make sense from a targeting perspective, but it may not be using him toward his greatest strength, at least the strength that originally did bring him to did make him Harris's running mate.
But you do think this resonates with the Rust Belt as well?
It does. And those will be the states that decide this election, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, as you and your listeners all know. What the Harris campaign is hoping is that Walz can help them swing enough votes in the less populated areas of those states to swing those states back into to keep those states in the Democratic column the way they were in 2020.
Do you think, this honeymoon right now for the Harris-Walz campaign, when do you think it's likely to end?
If I had to make a prediction, I would say probably sometime in the several days after the end of the Democratic convention next week. Harris has been able to unify and motivate the Democratic Party in a way that we haven't seen since probably the 2008 Obama campaign. However, that's not something that can sustain indefinitely or even for the last 3 months of a campaign. You have to do two things to win a presidential election in the U.S. You have to motivate your base, and you have to reach out beyond that base to persuade undecided voters. Harris has done a tremendous job of motivating the Democratic base in a way that Joe Biden could not. We have yet to see whether she and Walz are going to be able to move those swing voters or not. I suspect we begin seeing that in about a week and a half.
All right, lastly, there have been claims that Harris has been dodging interviews, that she's, and maybe this is a strategic move on the campaign's part, I don't know, but what is your thought about that?
Well, she has been riding a wave of enthusiasm among the party's base, as we talked about a moment ago. And so the campaign has made what appears to be a short-term smart decision to avoid interviews in more contentious situations that might somehow end up dampening that enthusiasm. But she's not going to be able to make it all the way to Election Day without answering reporters' questions in a more serious and sustained way. And the concern that the Democrats might be having soon is the longer they wait to expose her to that kind of questioning, the more challenging it's going to be.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Political analyst Dan Schnur, who teaches both at USC and UC Berkeley, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. The California legislature passed a package of bills tackling retail theft, sending 10 different pieces of legislation to Governor Newsom's desk for his signature. The bills look to strike a balance between increasing penalties for property theft rings and repeat offenders while offering up exceptions and support for lower-level offenders. We checked in with LA Assemblymember Rick Zabur, who's the chief sponsor of the retail theft effort. He's also chair of the Assembly Democratic Caucus.
Basically, the package of bill tries to do two things. One of the things we've learned to be the best deterrent for all kinds of crime, but it includes retail theft, is that you want to make sure that if someone is committing a crime, you are that the likelihood that someone is going to be apprehended, caught, is high. You increase that likelihood, and that you increase the likelihood that there is a meaningful consequence when you're caught. So when you look at this package of bills, that's what they're essentially trying to do. And then also looking at some of the very specific harms that are occurring in our communities and to California small businesses and retailers.
He says part of the motivation of this legislation was to make it easier for district attorneys to prosecute serial retail thieves.
Focusing on these organized retail crime rings. We know that a very large percentage of the retail theft that's occurring in California is occurring through these organized rings. So my bill has a new crime targeting serial retail thieves and provides a penalty of up to 3 years behind bars for possession of stolen property with the intent to resell, and actually has an intent requirement that is different from some of the laws that are currently on the books that makes it easier for those crimes, for these serial thieves to be prosecuted.
And at the same time, the Assemblymember says he's not endorsing a return to the old tough-on-crime approach.
One of the things we're trying to do is make sure that we're getting to the folks that are committing most of these crimes, you know, these crime rings, then which you've got people making lots of money off of basically, stealing from these stores one after another, and trying to separate those cases where someone is sort of stealing for survival. They're stealing food, or it's happening. You know, it's not as frequent, and what they're stealing is sort of smaller, and they're stealing it for personal use. I mean, we don't want to put someone in prison for 20 years for stealing a burrito. I mean, we want to have a consequence for those things, and we want them to be caught. And that's why one part of my bill actually makes it easier for courts in those cases to get people into mental health and substance use treatment. So that's what we want to do with those people. Or the people that we want to send to prison are the people that are actually that are making criminal choices and doing that repeatedly.
Several progressive Democrats either voted no or did not vote at all on the retail theft legislation package. On the other end of the spectrum, a much tougher retail theft proposition will be on California's ballot in November.